Carbohydrate awareness. Today, we're discussing how the amount and type of carbohydrate we eat affects our health. Which types of food contain carbohydrate? Starchy foods. Cereal, bread, chapati, potato, rice, pasta, pulses, and starchy vegetables. Foods or drinks with added sugar. Fizzy drinks, sweets, chocolate, jam, desserts, cakes, and biscuits. Foods, drinks with natural sugar, fresh fruit, tinned fruit, dried fruit, fruit juice, milk, yogurt, and fromage frais. Think back to the Nutrition for Health model. Which of the food groups do you think contain carbohydrates? Carbohydrates, starchy and sugary foods, fruit and vegetables. Fruits contain natural sugars and vegetables contain varying amounts of starch. Milk and dairy. These foods contain natural milk sugars called lactose, with the exception of hard cheese, which is virtually carbohydrate-free. Protein foods do not contain any carbohydrate in their natural form, with the exception of nuts, beans and lentils. They are often combined with some, however, e.g. if they are covered in batter or breadcrumbs. Fatty foods do not contain any carbohydrate in their natural form. They are often combined with some, however, e.g. with flour and sugar to make biscuits and cakes. How much carbohydrate is there in a small slice of bread? 15 grams. And what are the building blocks of the bread? Bread's a starchy carbohydrate, so it's made up of glucose. How about sugar or sucrose? How many teaspoons are equivalent to a small slice or 15 grams of bread? 3 teaspoons. And are the building blocks of the sugar the same as they are for the bread? No, the sugar is made up of equal parts glucose and fruit sugar or fructose. How big would an apple have to be to have the same amount of carbohydrate as a small slice of bread and the 3 teaspoons of sugar? Small, a 130-gram apple also has about 15 grams of carbohydrate. Is the carbohydrate in fruit more similar to the bread or to the sugar? The sugar, as it also contains glucose and fructose stuck together. There is more fructose than glucose in an apple, though. The apple also contains fiber, vitamins and minerals, which make it a healthier option than the sugar. Although it is not advised to graze on fruit because this can still result in elevated blood glucose, fruit is more nutritionally dense and less energy dense than sugar, so we are not suggesting that you avoid eating fruit completely. The last carbohydrate food we're going to talk about is milk. How big would a glass of milk be to have the same carbohydrate content as the other foods we've discussed? 300 milliliters, just over half a pint of milk, has about 15 grams of carbohydrate. Do you know what the building blocks of the carbohydrate in milk and dairy products are? The carbohydrate in milk and dairy is called lactose, which is made up of glucose attached to a milk sugar, galactose. How much carbohydrate did we say was in all of these different foods? 15 grams. Despite differences in the type of carbohydrates in each, they all contain the same amount of carbohydrate. The amount is important. All of these different types of carbohydrate can cause blood glucose to rise, leading to insulin levels increasing. Which of these foods do you think will cause the fastest increase in blood glucose and insulin? Of these foods, the bread will have the quickest impact on blood glucose, as it is made up of only glucose. Glucose can be absorbed directly into the blood, whereas the other building blocks cannot, so they do not raise blood glucose as quickly. The faster a food increases blood glucose, the higher its glycemic index, or GI. Can you give some other examples of quick-releasing high GI carbohydrate? Glucozade, glucose tablets, potatoes, processed and refined cereals such as cornflakes or Rice Krispies, and long-grain rice. Despite what many people think, brown bread and wholemeal bread release glucose at the same rate as white bread, as the modern processes of milling result in the flour being ground to the same fine consistency. Granary, whole grain and stone ground breads release glucose slightly slower as they are not processed to the same extent as white, brown and wholemeal bread. Which of the carbohydrate foods do you think is the next quickest releasing after the bread? The sugar, which is medium releasing, medium GI. And this is because although the glucose can be absorbed directly after the sugar has been broken down, the fructose has to go to the liver first, so it doesn't affect blood glucose as quickly. Can you think of any other foods that are medium releasing or medium GI? Weetabix, shredded wheat, new potatoes, sweet potatoes, basmati rice, sugary foods such as biscuits. So what about the carbohydrates in the apple and the milk? How quickly do you think they impact on blood glucose levels? The milk and apple are slow-release or low GI foods. And why do you think the carbohydrate is released more slowly from the apple than it is from the sugar? Although the glucose can be absorbed directly, the fructose does not cause blood glucose to rise as quickly as glucose does, because it has to go to the liver first. There is more fructose in an apple than there is in sugar, which is part of the reason that affects blood glucose more slowly. The apple also contains soluble fiber, which further slows down the rate at which the carbohydrate is broken down and absorbed. Why do you think the carbohydrate in the milk is slow releasing? The milk sugar in the milk does not cause blood glucose to rise as quickly as glucose does, because it has to go to the liver first. There's also fat and protein in the milk, which delays the food passing through the stomach and slows down the rate at which the carbohydrate is broken down and absorbed. Do you know of any other foods which are slow releasing or low GI? Other fruits and vegetables, yogurts and fromage frais, nuts, seeds, pulses, steel-cut porridge and all bran. So we've talked about different foods that contain carbohydrates and what happens to that carbohydrate when we break it down. We are now going to look at how the different carbohydrate building blocks can impact on our health if we have too much of them. So where did we say the glucose goes? It's absorbed from the gut straight into the blood. And what should our blood glucose levels be? Between 4 and 7 millimoles per litre. That equates to between 3 and 7 grams, equivalent to about 1 teaspoon of sugar or half a slice of bread. Where does this glucose need to go before we convert it to energy? It needs to enter the cell. What do we need to open the cell door to let the glucose into the cell? Insulin. What happens to the fructose and the milk sugar from the sugar, fruit or milk? Once the carbohydrate food has been broken down, the fructose or milk sugar goes to the liver. We're also going to consider how our carbohydrate intake affects our blood fat or our triglyceride levels and the number and size of our cholesterol transporters, our LDL. Do you know what we would consider to be a healthy amount of triglyceride in our blood? Less than 1.7 millimoles per litre. And what about our LDL? What do you think we ideally would like to see? We want to have large LDL, or trucks, rather than small LDL, cars, as it is better at carrying cholesterol, which is essential and not bad for our health where it is needed. We do not need to have too many LDL particles if we have the large trucks, as they can carry the cholesterol load more easily. What will our body do with the carbohydrate building blocks if we need energy? Well, the glucose can be used for energy in the cell. The fructose and the milk sugar can be converted to glucose and be used for energy too. What do you think happens to the glucose, fructose or milk sugar if we do not need them for energy? First, they're stored as a carbohydrate reserve called glycogen. We have glycogen stores in our muscle cells and in our liver. The room our body has to store carbohydrate as glycogen is limited, however. So how is the extra glucose, fructose or milk sugar stored if there's no more room for glycogen? As fat. Having a small amount of fat stored in our body cells, even in our liver, isn't bad for our health. What do you think happens if we have too much food containing glucose? Blood glucose levels rise, insulin levels rise. We will have more glucose than we need for energy, so our glycogen stores in our cells will be filled and any excess will be stored as fat. Some of the excess glucose can be taken to the liver, where it can also be stored as glycogen or fat. If we store too much fat in our body cells, what do you think happens to them? They can become overweight. As well as being bigger, what's different about the overweight cell? The locks a different shape. Why do you think this is important? The key, or the insulin, won't work as well, and this is called insulin resistance. So we need extra insulin to do the same job when we start to become insulin resistant. We can think of insulin resistance as being like antibiotic resistance. What makes bacteria become resistant to antibiotics? Taking too many antibiotics, increased exposure can lead to increased resistance, and the same is true of insulin. So having insulin resistance results in our body needing more insulin, and these elevated insulin levels, or hyperinsulinemia, can lead us to becoming even more insulin resistant. What's another effect of it? Insulin is a fat storage hormone. Having elevated insulin or hyperinsulinemia triggers our body to store body fat rather than to burn it. So having increased levels of insulin can cause our cells to become even more overweight and even more insulin resistant. As we become more and more insulin resistant, our blood glucose will increase because we can no longer move the glucose from our blood into the body cells where it can be converted into energy. Elevated blood glucose, typically above 10 millimoles per litre, can lead to increased urination, increased thirst, tiredness, increased number of infections, and an increased recovery time from infections. What do you think happens if we consume too much milk sugar? It's stored in our liver as glycogen. If the glycogen stores are full, it can be stored as fat. People don't tend to overconsume milk sugar or galactose, however, and it isn't considered to be a major health concern. So we are instead going to focus on what happens when we have too much fruit sugar. Why do you think fruit sugar is of particular concern? There's a lot of fruit sugar in sugary foods and drinks. A typical Western diet includes a lot of processed sugary foods and drinks. As a result, a lot of people have a lot of fruit sugar in their diet. What do you think we do with any excess fruit sugar? Once the glycogen stores are full, the excess will be stored as fat in the liver. Unlike glucose, which can be absorbed in any of our body cells, fruit sugar is only processed in the liver. And this means that excess fruit sugar from eating too much sugary food can have a major effect on fat content of the liver. What happens if this continues to happen? We can get fatty liver. And what do you think is the consequence of this? Our liver function is impaired, which can increase insulin resistance and cause fat, triglycerides, to be pushed back out into our blood. So the excess fruit sugar can increase insulin resistance, contribute to fatty liver, and increase blood triglyceride levels. What effect do you think the elevated blood triglyceride levels has on our LDL? Excess triglycerides can make the large LDL or the trucks shrink, and when they shrink, they cannot carry as much cholesterol, and therefore we need more small LDL or small cars. Having small LDL is bad because they're less stable, increasing the risk of them dropping their load, cholesterol. This means that even when the fruit sugar doesn't have an immediate effect on blood glucose, it can still have a detrimental effect on our health, which is why we are saying the amount of carbohydrate is the most important consideration. Taking measures to improve our blood glucose control and improve our insulin levels can allow our body to improve a lot of our health markers. We could reduce the amount of carbohydrate we eat, perhaps by adopting one of the dietary approaches covered in the Nutrition for Health activity. A low carbohydrate or Mediterranean approach in particular would likely have a lower amount of carbohydrate than patients' current diet, whilst intermittent fasting is also likely to reduce the amount of carbohydrate. Why do you think this will help? It will lower our need for insulin, lower insulin will reduce our insulin resistance, and lower insulin will enable our body to burn fat, helping us to lose weight and reverse our fatty liver. If our liver is functioning better, there will also be less triglycerides pushed back into the blood. What impact do you think this will have on the LDL profile? It will improve it, as newly produced LDL will be larger and therefore will not become damaged. So taking measures to improve our blood glucose control and improve our insulin levels can allow our body to improve a lot of our health markers. That is why the key message is that the amount of carbohydrate we are having is the most important factor to consider. What did we say was the next thing to consider if you are happy with the amount of carbohydrate you're eating? The type of carbohydrate. What types of carbohydrate do you think might be better choices? Sources of carbohydrate that are not processed. Avoid cakes and biscuits, for example. Whole grain sources of carbohydrate are better than refined versions. They are not absorbed as quickly, they have a lower GI, and they have greater nutritional value. Foods that contain some other nutritional value, for example fruit, also contain soluble fiber, vitamins and minerals. Milk and dairy also contains fats and proteins, as well as important vitamins and minerals such as calcium. Nuts, contain important vitamins and minerals, as well as a source of protein, essential fats, and soluble fiber. Pulses and legumes also contain protein, soluble fiber, and other vitamins and minerals. It's still important to remember that even if you're making better choices regarding the type of carbohydrate you are having, the amount is still the most important factor. This means you shouldn't graze on fruit, for example. If you did want to include an occasional dessert, what do you think you could do? You could swap the carbohydrate in the dessert for carbohydrate normally eaten elsewhere. For example, if you knew you were having the dessert, you could reduce or remove the carbohydrate in the savory meal. Increase physical activity levels. When you are physically active, your body is able to use glucose more efficiently. So on a day where you're being more active, your body may be better able to handle the extra carbohydrate. Smaller portions. You could have a smaller portion of dessert and a smaller portion of carbohydrate with the main meal. Accept that blood glucose will be raised. You could make an informed decision to include the dessert, even though you know it will result in a blood glucose and insulin increase. As long as blood glucose is down to normal levels the next day, you may decide that it's okay to enjoy an occasional increase in carbohydrate intake. Adapt recipes. Replacing flour with ground almonds and sugar with a sweetener, for example, will reduce the carbohydrate load of the dessert. Adjust the insulin dose. If you inject insulin, then you can learn how to adjust the dose to accommodate an increased carbohydrate load. Many standard desserts are highly processed with little nutritional value, and it is your decision whether to try and omit them completely or consume them as an occasional treat. Making a dessert at home can provide better nutrition, as you can use real, unprocessed ingredients, can increase the fiber content and/or reduce the carbohydrate load.